If you have your Bibles, let's study the Word of God. We have been speaking about the work of Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. What did He do? Why did He have to come? It's so important we understand something, all right, that spiritual things are real. And whatever we see, all right, physically speaking, are reflections of things that are happening in the realm of the Spirit. And God said to Moses, He says, see that you build those things according to the pattern that we're showing to you on the mountain. As a matter of fact, the tabernacle of sacrifices existed first of all in the realm of the spirit before Moses made a copy of them on the earth. And this your physical body was created for a particular reason. David was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. Therefore, a body that has prepared for me. That is, the body of Jesus was necessary to execute some things on the earth. The earth had problems. Last week, I began to speak about, in fact, let's read the scriptures, and I'll pick up from that particular point. The book of Romans chapter 5, we read that last time. All right, let's read from verse 12. It said, therefore, just as through one man sin, it says, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now, very important, we understand that death came into the world because of sin. Sin came first, and then death followed. I began to say this last time, that death is a very important thing people must understand. When you see all the disorder that's in the world, it is what the Bible calls death. Death is not just that somebody fell down and physically expired. That is part of it. Death occurs in different aspects. There is economic death. Are you getting my point? You see countries struggling all the time. You know, I watch news a lot, and I watch all these analyses of ongoing events in the world. And for me, why do I do that? It's actually my main reason, all right, is I use it to understand, all right, to assess spiritual things, okay? So I see things occurring in the world, and there's something that makes me, you know, America being the most prominent nation in the world right now. You watch what is happening there, and it's so easy to, you know, to be aware because the news is always out there, all right? So watch what is happening there, and some things make me laugh. It makes me laugh in that, on one hand, a man like Barack Jeroboam Obama, all right? It, you know, there's Barack Hussein Obama, there's Barack Jeroboam Obama. Why are you a Jeroboam? If God brought you to office for his purpose, and you begin to execute idolatry as your purpose, then you're a Jeroboam, all right? When I read the scriptures, you know the story about Jeroboam. So the fact that you are misbehaving does not mean that God didn't bring you to office. So you see him struggling every day, and he campaigned on the principle that he could attain economic recovery if they do the things that are right. So they choose the best economists. They choose Nobel Prize winners. You take a man like Warren Buffett, and he's an advisor to the president, and they discuss things, and you are working every day to try and get death out. Get that point? You're trying to get death out of the economy. That's what you're trying to do. We are laboring every day to ensure that men had work to do, that women could be productive, that young boys, young girls could go to school, all right, with little effort and have enough money to be able to pay for their education. You want to be sure. Now, Obama is very emphatic about this, that healthcare gets to everybody. That's what is called laboring for death to come out. You see it in a moment. We're going to read it from Hebrews chapter 4. And you're doing all of that. At the same time, you turn on one side. Because of lack of understanding, you turn around and try and press everything that causes death to enter into the society. You try to press them into the society. Are you seeing the irony there? Are you seeing the irony? Let me give an example. This is just to explain it again. Those days, shock. When doctors want to treat shock, they used to bleed their patients. They did not understand that there were different kinds of shock. And that bleeding their patient only worked for one particular type. One particular type, all right? I'm not discussing that now. But there were different kinds of shock. So if a man went into shock, the doctor did some bloodletting. They removed blood from him. I know what I did to most patients. They died. Why did they die? Because the doctor tried to treat them. If the doctor had left him alone, there would have been a better chance of his surviving. When men walk in ignorance, when God doesn't give light to your eyes, you grope around in darkness, you'll be doing things that are going to complicate your situation, thinking that they are going to improve your situation. Many years ago, when I was a little boy, I used to have back pain. You have a bad back? No. Very funny. Now, because my back used to pain me, I would put a pillow on it and lie on it. You know what was causing it? later on. You know what happened was that, I was growing, went to school. I didn't complain to my mother or my father. I knew it was a serious matter. Just occasionally my back would just be aching. So once I went for clinic, University of Benin, by the time I was getting to my already doing specialty postings. I was my middle, 6 years, somewhere in the middle, around 4th year. And the orthopedic surgeon was explaining something about back. And it surprised me that all I'd been doing all this while was causing myself back pain in trying to solve it. And he explained that the best way to prevent, because patients who come to clinic will examine and he will start teaching us. He was teaching hospital. That's how medical students learn. So that was when I solved my problem. The man just explained simply. I was sleeping on the bed that was sagging. I didn't know. I found out later. And I had this habit of lying face down. The man explained it. I didn't know that up to that. Okay, that's why you keep learning. All right, that's why information is so powerful. Because what was I doing simply? I would lie down, face down, on the bed that was sagging. Therefore, curving my spine a bit inwards. And that was the cause of my problem. And then I would lie down flat and put a pillow under my back, thereby covering it the other way again and maintaining the problem. I didn't know. The moment he said it, of course, I never did that again. I suddenly started sleeping a different way. And that was the end of it till today. So now if I wake up with backache, I say, how did I sleep? It's simple. And I give the advice to people. How do you sleep? It's simple. Now, what I'm telling their story is that maybe something went bad one day. In trying to solve it, I began to worsen the problems. There was a time, another one I was in school. You know, being a doctor, you learn a lot of things. And, you really get to understand life. I learned another principle one day. One of our lecturers explained to us, a patient they had treated with all kinds of things. His fever wouldn't go away. So the doctor just said, stop treating him. And the day they stopped, the fever disappeared. The man was having drug fever. Oh, you don't know, that's what they call drug fever. And I feel sorry for people, they are always going for treatment. Many of the times, your problem is the treatment. You were well until you saw that doctor. The moment you saw him, your problems commenced. I'm trying to make an issue here. Men often, in trying to solve problems, are you getting my point? They ignite a new set of problems. And many people, they are trying to solve a problem, and they are working hard on ensuring that problem does not go away. What am I saying? You look at Barack Obama, you look at America today, and I laugh. They will never come out of economic hardship. It is not possible. Why? Because the same government working hard to ensure economy improves works hard to legalize homosexual marriages. God is not mocked. Whatever a nation sows, that shall he also reap. Righteousness exalts a nation out of economic troubles. Sin is what pushes him down inside there. The Bible calls it a reproach to many peoples. It's funny. Listen, I'm saying it boldly. They will never come out of that economic hardship until they reverse this attitude. Oftentimes people are struggling. Are you getting my point? They are struggling to solve a problem. Then at the same time, they are working hard to ensure the problem continues because they did not tie the two together. Barack Obama is a joke in that area. He's so vehement, that is, he's passionate, let me put it like that, that's a better English, in his desire to ensure that his country is good. But at the same time, he does not understand that everything in life has limits. Liberty has limits. There is no eternal, forever, complete liberty. You know, just liberty, anything you want to do. That's actually bondage disguised. Liberty that doesn't have boundaries is bondage in disguise. Go and read Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness. That girl, Sally Beth Rowe, in that book, she was a satanist. At the point in time, she said she desired, she was lamenting herself. That she was like a child, I can't remember the details now, who was restricted. Then she desired for freedom. Then she fought for it and got it. Then after she got it, she began to wish for the boundaries. She began to look for fence. Show me where I can go and where I can't go. Everything God gives you in life, there must be a boundary. God gives you liberty, doesn't mean you can do everything you like. That was when he gave Adam, you can eat every one of these trees, but and that one, don't go near. Somebody said this once, so true. He said, even Joseph, he got to the house of Potiphar. Everything was under his control, apart from Mrs. Potiphar. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want food? No problem. You want all the female slaves? No problem. But Mrs. Potiphar, that one is a boundary. And the man understood that, and that was the reason he went far in life. My brother Obama thinks that no, it's not so. If you fall in love with a man, why can't you marry him even though you're a man? That if I say you can't marry him, I'm being discriminatory. Listen, certain things in life must be held sacred. Please, you must get my point. Certain things in your life must be sacred. And that's how God did it. Finally, you are going to read my book, Sex, Worship and Sex Control. All right? It will come out one of these days. All right? It's been written in my head for years. Just to bring it out, that's what the issue is. Because you look at it, it looks to the man who doesn't believe in God that all there is to sex is just physical activity. Except that it's not true. Physical activity is the way by which we express spiritual activity. That's just the way it is. In this sphere, spiritual activity is expressed through physical activity. That's just the way it is. Do you know how your body connects with the realm of the spirit is affected by what you eat and what you don't eat? What enters into your ears decides whether you hear God or you don't hear God. If you wake up every morning and it's Bob Marley that's jamming on one side, what's the name of this backsliding brother? Your friend, Olayinka, the bunch, is jamming on the other side. You won't hear heaven. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? If God likes to be shouting, jokes, jokes, I'm talking to you. He said, come, God will have Kaya now. He'll be shouting. How do I know? When Elisha wanted to hear heaven, he said, bring me a minstrel. All you noisemakers have been making a lot of noise. This sinner of a king, Ahab, has come here to make noise. He has brought all kinds of noise. What is all of this noise? Bring me a minstrel. Let me remove the distractions you guys have become in my presence by minstrel playing. That's why I told you, the fast of God is not hunger. Some of your hunger does not let you hear heaven. It's a coolness of spirit. It's a quietness of your body. It's a distraction from, you know what I'm saying? A removal of yourself from distractions. That's what fasting is as a Christian. People think that it's the hungrier I am, that it shows I'm fair. No, no. It just means get away from all those distractions. That's just what fasting is for a believer. Because without that, you can't connect with heaven. Take a message to Obama and people like him. That you're making a mistake if you think life is all about this physical side of it. That is why, see the scriptures, there is never, listen, everywhere there's idolatry, there's sexual promiscuity. Everywhere there is idolatry, there is sexual promiscuity. And I make bold to say, it is a sign, listen, it is a sign of whether a man is walking with God or he's not. If you hear that this man is a preacher, he's always preaching. Then one day the father has been committing adultery. Let me tell you the truth. He wasn't serving God. He was preaching. He was not serving God. He was preaching. I'm not saying he wasn't preaching. Because I've read the scriptures enough to know that many people preaching don't believe in God. And when you see it, God said, Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 1. He said, it's only when people deny God that he now gives them over to the depravity of their minds. People have won the American Supreme Court. Listen, you know what you're going to do? Just rule in favor of homosexual marriages. And you don't realize what you have begun. Because after that, one man is going to come with his estranged daughter. They have not seen in 20 years. And say, I want to marry her. And you won't be able to say no. Why will you say no? They are both consenting adults. The girl is 22. The man is 42. I mean, he might have had that when he was 20. The same law that says incest is bad is the same law that says homosexuality is bad. The same law of God. Why am I saying all of these things? So you see people get up. What they are doing outwardly is a sign of how their hearts have departed from God. And their outside activities, the multitude of their traits, the Bible says, starts filling the center of them with wickedness. They deny God.
They deny him in every way. What they don't realize is what the Bible calls it sin. By that, death comes into the system. Death manifests, of course, in sicknesses in the body and the mind. It manifests in sicknesses in businesses, in marriages, in the military, in everything. Among the things that I teach my students, what they call, of course, you know it, systemic hypertension, the common hypertension. And I always, anytime I want to start the subject, I say, why is it called the silent killer? It's always my first few minutes after I start the subject, why is it called the silent killer? And I always answer like this, of course, I begin to explain, that it is destroying the body, destroying the heart, destroying the kidneys, destroying many crucial parts of the body, and the person does not even know he's sick. He lives with it for 20 years. That the first day he finds out that he's hypertensive, that hypertension has done a critical damage in his body, which many people find it hard to recover from. And that is why it is called the silent killer. Iniquity is a silent killer. That's what I'm saying. It is a silent killer. It infiltrates a system where men have prospered. It infiltrates a system where men have done well. It begins to break them down. They don't realize it. After all, we have prospered. And that's why he said it like this. Thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Why was he saying like that? Because men are likely to forget. They will deny God and they will still prosper. Because the blessings of God, they are like that. Yes, they have kicked in. So difficult to reverse them. Sometimes God takes an oath, and even he will refuse to reverse some blessings. He just remove you from the center of the blessing. So people often get confused. They are blessed. Everything is going happily with them. They are the strongest nation in the world. They have some of the best scientists. Some of the best, medical advancement is there. A lot of things are going on well. Everybody wants to come to our country. They don't realize that it is the Lord thy God that gave thee that power to get it. So when you deny God, the case sets in, like I talked about silent killing. You don't realize it. Silently, the case is setting in. It's spoiling everything. Silently, people are beginning to lose it. They don't realize. The day the thing finally begins to manifest, it's too late. What am I talking about? Let me get back to my message. My message is about death. Death is when that decay has worked in. It's beginning to spoil everything. But the emphasis in this, our teaching right now, is that it comes by sin. That's why I'm not saying all of these things. You can't just disobey God and think it's okay. God made life. He has a manual for it. Our message is the work of Christ. What did Jesus do to solve it? That's what we are talking about. Now, let me read a few scriptures, all right, to add to the one we have read. Okay, there are two things I'm going to explain today. I don't know which one of them I'll reach. But remember what I said last time, just remind us. When Adam sinned, he allowed Satan to come into the earth, and he came with his hordes of demons, and began to tempt the descendants of Adam. And every one of them will fall for that temptation. And by the time Jesus Christ came, Satan said something, and he said it boldly, was able to brag on it. I say all these kingdoms, they belong to me. People said it was at the beginning Adam handed over to Satan. I've read that. I believed it for a long time. Then I studied and realized it could not have been so. All right? The reason is that when David reigned, Satan couldn't say that. Are you getting my point? If you had a righteous king, Satan wouldn't brag on that. What happened was that at that particular point in time, that's one lesson for all of us. The world was in the most crucial point. Satan had taken over everything. And that was when God stepped in. Satan had to negotiate for each one of those kingdoms of men. And you must understand that. I'm leaving my message, but I'll come back, all right? Just let me press pause there. Let me just get over to this. And that's why in life you have to be careful. What you are fighting for, what you are fighting about in life is not just prosperity. It's not just your own comfort. You are fighting for things that are bigger than such things. When Satan made that statement to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempting him, we read the story in Luke chapter 4. Also Matthew chapter 4. You read those stories there. He said that these are the kingdoms of the world and they've been delivered to me. Bow down, worship me, and I'll give them to you. I want you to understand something. Satan at that point had taken everything. Don't be deceived to think it was Adam that gave it to him. It was not Adam. It was the people that lived at that time and their ancestors, that is, the last three generations. How did they give it to Satan? It was by falling for his temptation. Don't ever forget this. Satan does not have power. The way people think, he can't just wrest a kingdom by force. All he can do is to tempt. He has gone through his machinations and the people around had fallen for him. Kings, look at Israel. A man took his brother's wife and he was ruling. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's how people give it over to Satan. A king threatens another one. One, there is an Israel, the king of Judah now, will strip the temple of gold and send it to go and bribe a king to come and help him fight his enemy. What's he doing? He's selling over to Satan. A man wants power. He sacrifices his first son on the altar of a false god, Molech. Why? He wants power. He gets the power, but he has sold that authority to the devil. It's very common these days in our own society. These people join cults because they want power, they want money. Listen to me, those are the negotiations that Satan has to go through all the time to retain that his control. So in your life, understand this. You're not just fighting for money. And so that you prosper or not. You're not just fighting for your life self. You are fighting one fight to ensure that any kingdom you are in charge of, Satan can never open his mouth and say, everything belongs to me. Do you get my point? Listen, life is spiritual. Don't ever forget it. What you are seeing physically right now is very temporal. That is, there are people that are rich and God, that physically speaking, God said, you don't realize you are poor. And there are those that physically speaking, they are poor. But God said, this fellow is very rich. What am I saying? If you stand in a position and you reject the temptations of Satan, you have become rich, even though physically you don't have anything. If you heard me, say amen.
Amen.
Very important. Very important. People often misjudge this thing. They think that man did it, and look at what he has done. And we were telling you that time. You thought you were, are you the only Christian here? Are you the only Christian? Listen, I'm guarding a post. You must understand this. I'm guarding a post. I am saying that as far as I am alive, Satan will not rule here. Let me be poor. Let me trek. But as far as I am in charge, Satan will never open his mouth and say that all these kingdoms have been given to me. Let me be the poorest lecturer in that university. Let me be the only one who taught for 35 years and did not build my own house. I don't care. But I will be able to say, I was one head of department that nobody was able to pay to get one mark from. That is, Satan did not rule that one. That's what we are fighting for. It's not even when I get home, I'll say, Father, I'm sorry. God knows you are sorry too. I don't know whether I get my point. As we were doing it, he knew you were sorry. He knew he didn't understand what you were doing. Whether you are sorry or not, you sold a kingdom. I don't know what I heard I said. You're sorry or you're not sorry, you sold the kingdom. That is the point. Many of our people enter into politics. Listen to me. It is not where you got to and what you did that when you got there, it's not only that matters. In my opinion, it is less important than how you got there. Go and read Psalm 118. Read Matthew chapter 7. Both David and Jesus said it. Enter by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one that leads to destruction. That is, it is how you enter that determines what you get. It is not where you entered. I don't know what I get on saying. He said, enter by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one. And wide is that road that leads to destruction. David said in that Psalm 118, he said, open for me the gates of righteousness. The righteous enter by this one. He said, I want the gates of God. That is, we are entering the same thing. You are going to be a governor. You are going to be a senator. You are going to be a president. Yes, all of us will be governors, senators, presidents, whatever it is. We'll be internationally renowned evangelists. Let's bring it out to spiritual angle. Are you getting us? We'll be rich men. Richest black man in Africa. richest black man under the age of 35. You know those kind of things. Those things men fight for. Worldliness. Yes, we'll be rich. The richest married woman before the age of 45. You know, Forbes will look for how to put your name there too. But that's not what matters to God. What matters to him is, how did you get there? That is what determines whether it is Satan that's ruined that kingdom or it is not. I tell my brethren, you're entering into politics, there's only one thing you do as a politician, buy form. Anything beyond that is not of God. I don't know, you understand what I mean by that? Enter allegiance, don't sign any paper. So you will never get there. Say, look, you don't understand how is what we're talking about. It's not where. God spoke a word to David. Direct. No, you know, there are times you pray and you're not even sure whether it's your thought or your mind or your friend's mind or your phone that spoke to you. You don't know who you're hearing. David's zone was not like that. David's zone is that he got home. Read the whole Bible. After Moses, the next prophet mentioned as Samuel, one of the most credible prophets that ever lived, who the Bible said expressly, not one of the words that he spoke ever fell to the ground. That man walked into the life of David, poured oil on his head, and said, God has anointed you king amongst his people. Then a day came, Saul, the reigning king, was who had been pursuing him, was just there under his power for him to strike and kill. And one of his men said, don't worry, you don't have to do it, sir. I will do it myself, and I swear to you, it will be painless. Yeah, that's why he said, I won't do it twice. And those men, trust them, they knew how to do it. David said, no, I'm adding many words. It's not just where, it's how. It must not be on record that in climbing to that throne, I killed the king that was there. It's not just where, it's how. Now, I told you I'm taking a small detour, right? That just by the way, for us to understand it. In this life, it's not just yourself you are fighting for. You are holding a kingdom, and Satan must never be able to say that this one, I'm in charge of that kingdom too. No. I'm sorry to say it. Many ministries are even ruled by Satan. Don't think it's the name you call it. El Shaddai, Jesus Christ, redemption, sanctification, incorporated deliverance and evangelistic apostolic ministries. Satan can mean the Lord. And Satan is very interesting. He doesn't care what you preach. Oh, God, I pray you get what I'm saying. Once he has taken you, put you in his pocket, you can go to church and preach on holiness. It doesn't concern him. Say, Pastor Bank, what are you talking about? Oh, my God. How do I know? Paul was preaching. And one small girl was following him and his friend about. And he was repeating the words, these are servants of the Most High God who have come to show us the way of salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why was he Satan inside her not saying, no, don't say it. Don't say it. They will believe him. No, he knew nobody was going to believe. Oh, God. God, read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You can hear and not understand. You can see and not perceive. That's why Satan doesn't mind TB Joshua saying all those, Jesus is Lord. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as I have the guy in my pocket, as every Jesus is Lord, he says, only leads men to hellfire. That's why in your life, don't strike any deal. Just any deal that comes because you help you make progress in life. Many Christians, they don't know. They now return and start giving offerings. Because they've struck deals. They've entered into high positions by making deals with Satan. Of course, let me tell you something again to you. There are those who go to shrine to bow. Ooh, Amadioha. Ooh. There's one film that time. Raging Storm, Olohi. I don't know how many of you watch that film. A lot of people do that, but most other people don't go near shrines. Most people in Western world, they don't know where shrines are, but they serve Satan just as much. They do. You want to know whether you are serving Satan? Just see the kind of agreements you are making each time you are making progress. You are a Christian, a businessman. You decide to do business in government office. You are always giving them cut. You are serving Satan. They are using you to inflate contracts so as to defraud government. You are serving Satan. I don't care how much tithes and offerings you bring back to church from that money. That's your kingdom. Satan will brag over it. He will offer it to somebody else. Bow down. You see that guy? Forget all that one he's doing. I blessed him and I prospered him. Listen, let me say it straight. You are, as a Christian, say, if you don't do that, you won't make any money. Why should you make money? Why can't they just make a good name, make righteousness, make holiness, and go home? Why can't they just do that and go home? Is government the only client in the world? Are they not individuals? Why not walk into that office and say, hey, wait. Me, I'm a child of God. Hey, pastor, you don't come. Yes, I have come. I'm not giving any of you one kobo. I hope you understand. We won't give you the contract. And let me tell you something, by the way. See, oh God. I say today, this is my message. We'll preach on later. May I just the end, Abby? May I just the gist? One of the things, listen, Christianity, go and listen to my series, Walking Divine Authority. I explain some things. There's a place you will get to in life, having lost, having suffered, having been denied. A time will come, a man will say to you, listen to me carefully. A man will say to you, you don't bring the money, you won't get this job. Say to him, if I don't get the job, you only be on 2 days. You don't say such that of desire. Hunger will have wired you a few years ago because of righteousness. And you say to the man, you will die midday by lightning from above so that they will know that your death is not natural. God is not always kind. You know what I'm saying? Kind. He said, guard your sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. You think they guard sword to go and play? So yeah, you think it's in a film? So the director said, do it like this 3 times. No, this one had to kill. He said, write down prosperously and in majesty because of truth. That is, a time comes, God says, I want to go and execute truth. Anybody who stands against it, I kill. Christians pray too many nice prayers. Let me tell you the truth. You must understand that it's kingdoms you are fighting for. That is, your own issue now is that once I build the company, Satan will not be able to brag and say that all of this I can give to anybody because they have been delivered to me. Say, this one, I am not delivering it to you. I bid for my job. I put my papers in and I walk away. I'm not marking anything up with half a penny for any devil. I'm sorry I'm not doing it. And let everybody know I'm not doing it. The worst you can do is to deny me of the job. But the time comes in my life, people will become afraid of denying me of the job. They will say, who quoted? It's not that pastor. He says he's the one. Is he a pastor of the church? No, he's not a pastor of the church. Just like the last guy who offended him. We buried him 3 weeks ago. I hope you heard what I'm saying. What am I explaining there? It's not just about what I'm getting or what I'm not getting. It's so crucial that you understand that in your life, Satan must never be able to brag over your own kingdom. It's so crucial that you understand that in your life, Satan must never be able to brag over your own kingdom. And what was I saying there? Is how you get there. Read that. Let's just read that Psalm 118. Just be that we read it, all right? Just for the sake of reading. Let me just start from verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. It says, I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. Let me not digress too much. Something just struck me here. You know, I keep on saying this all the time. No man says, I will not die but live, except it looks like he's going to die. You can't see me eating, all right, all kinds of food. I'm not telling you that I will not go hungry. Yeah, can you be going hungry? But you are eating. I will not die but live. It means simply, things may not be working the way they are supposed to work. But don't worry, I am not going to die. I will live. He now said, why am I in the difficulty I'm in? Why am I having challenges? He said, it is simply because, verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely. But I will not die. Why? Because he has not given me over to death. Do you get the point? He now said, how do I get out of where I am to where I really want to be? How do I get out of my difficult situation into my open place, into my place of abundance, into my place of prosperity, into my place of security? He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. That's verse 19. I shall give thanks to the Lord. He said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me say this to you simply. I don't want to sit analyzing this scripture. But there's something I want to bring here. Bring out here, verse 21. He said, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. How Christians get out of their rough places is simply by making a request to God. They don't negotiate with people. They don't sign agreements. They don't walk in unrighteousness. They simply make their request. He said, when God will do it, we will know that it is the work of God and it is marvelous in our eyes. He said, that's verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. Very important. Listen, if you understand this rule, Satan will not win in our lives. Know that anything you are going to get in life, you ask God for it and that settles it. When he finally breaks out upon you with his breakthrough, with his righteousness, all right, with his mighty power, then everybody will know only God did this. That way, Satan will never, ever be able to point to your kingdom and say that it has been delivered to me. Many people don't know this. They go by the gates that are not the gates of God. I've been poor all my life. This is now my passport to prosperity. You now join those who, when they want to record those who ruin the country by inflating contracts, your name is there. The contract can be rightfully executed for 15 million naira. Then one across director who's pretending to be a Christian, who's going to hell anyway. Who are going to hell? Not look, if you're a true believer, let me say it again. You're not going to hell. It's all those people who are not true believers, who are pretending to be Christians. No matter the amount of money they give, listen to me, they will likewise perish. So you find people like that, who okay, praise God, amen, the Lord is good. He's a liar. He said, no, there's nobody. No, you see, this wealth of the world, we have to collect it, amen. So, Oga, just put it there. Just 45 million, all right? You know, have you ever heard this joke before? Some government officials were interviewing people for a job. So let's use the same 15 million naira. They asked one man, the first guy that to come in, how much for the job? He said 15 million. He explained. He said, all right, you go out and go and wait. The next guy came, he said, it's 30 million. How come it's 30 million? He talk. It's the last guy I want to talk about. How much is it? Oh, is there 15 million? And 45 million, the last fellow. One man came and said, we'll do the same job very well for 15 million. He said, wait. Board members, wait. This is how we do it. 15 million for you. 15 million for me. And 15 million for that professor who wants to do the job. Do you get the point? 15 for you. 15 for me. And that man who said he would do it well for 15. We'll give him 15 million. And the job is nicely and effectively executed for 45 million. You look at each other and say, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's good arithmetic. Good satanic calculation. No. There are things as Christians. We'd rather trek than drive a car bought from such proceeds. Let's trek in righteousness. That is when you are going on the road, trekking. You cross the road. A car bought with that money will jam you. The car will break, splinter to pieces. There will be no scratch on you. That's what Jesus meant when he said it's better to trek to heaven, to into life, than to drive a fat car into hellfire. That's what he meant. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, it's so important to understand. If that's all I preach today, let me know I preach something. Satan is trying to... Look, people say that when Adam sinned, he gave the dominion over to Satan. I heard that one too. When I started studying the word of faith, 86, 87. I heard it also. Then around 1994, 95, I was studying and I realized it's not possible. I realized it's not possible. Satan can't give what doesn't pay me. Adam couldn't have given to anything. Like, what is he the only person? Abel came after him. Cain came after him. Satan negotiated with both of them. Abel refused to sell his own. Cain sold. People came after. You think while walking by faith, Abraham lost dominion to Satan? No, he did not. He did not. Men who walk by faith always hold their dominion. Satan is always trying to negotiate with them. He went to the house of Job, tried all kinds of things. It didn't work. When he asked him, how far has your kingdom reached? Everywhere apart from Job's territory. Listen, Satan has to negotiate with each person to get the portion of life that belongs to that person from him. He has to. And he's very smart and he's unrelenting. He doesn't get tired. Once Jesus became of age, he went after him. That triple temptation, you know, turn stones to bread, fall down from here, bow down and worship me. That one was given a minimum of 2 times. The fellow is unrelenting. Pride of life, jump down from here, jump down from here. You know, then you think, you know, when after that, he now entered into power, he now became settled. Lie. A time came, men came and said, let's make him king. That was satanic temptation. When Satan used all of those types, it did not work. Finally. You know, there was a time he gathered Mary, the brothers and sisters, they called family meeting. It was Satan. You know, Satan knows how to call family meeting. Some people think that Mary, mother of Christ, never did anything wrong. She was there in the family meeting. Satan entered into her too. So you better be careful when you are praying. There's no human being Satan did not use at the particular. The only person Satan did not use was Jesus Christ. Once he entered into Mary herself, she came and said, go and call down my son out. They came and told him, your mother is looking for you. He understood it. What did they say? Who is my mother? See that woman over there that is listening to me and doing the work of God, that is my mother for today. The mother, when he heard that one, he rejected that. Satan ran away. See, I warn all of you, don't be embarrassing me like this. I became a voice for Satan in my son's life after everything the angel told me. Now, that's not in the Bible. I just wrote that one to help you understand what I'm talking about. The Lord is good. It didn't stop tempting him. When that one didn't work, finally, the last one was Peter. Even Satan jumped inside Peter. You know, if you're a true Christian, your enemies are the smallest of your problems. Your real problems are your friends. Fellow ministers who want you to succeed. Your father, your mother who wants to build a house also. This is your career you are pursuing. You say it's the call of God. John Bull dedicated his twin duplex last week. That's it. Once they start like that, you'll do like this. I want peace. No, you need to peace. At that point, you need to go away. Since you cannot look your father in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. You may as well say to Satan, wait here. And they come. I'm telling you, what happened? I'm in distress. They won't know whether it's what you ate or what you are hearing. You need to get away. Peter did that with the Lord Jesus Christ too, and told him, kill you, okay? After we have left everything and followed you. We are now important men in ministry. You want to spoil this ministry? We won't let him do that. Do you know many preachers are afraid to preach the truth because the congregation is plenty? Yes? It's the same thing. A big woman minister, her husband is a big pastor, told my wife once, she was complaining about some shady movements that men in church were doing. Some of them deacons, head deacons, neck deacons, shoulder deacons. So my wife said to her simply, what did you deacon such people? Please, once in a while, I have to invent words to make my message clear. You deacon them? You call them to order? I said, no. They are the pillars of the church. Did you hear that? Human being, pillar of the church. Sinner. Now, I'm not talking about sinner. Say, they count church money. It was supposed to be 5,000. It now became 4,005. No. These were adulterers. Adulterers. No. Not a man who was overtaking an offense. The type that Paul said, you should restore. No, these are people with hard hearts. That you need to commit to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Peradventure, their spirits will be saved. Maybe they will repent. So they are pillars of the church. Because they don't want church to scatter. Church is not built on money. I hope you understand that. Please, listen to me. Church is not built on what? Money. It's not. It's not built on large congregation. It's not built on the amount of television stations you guys are on. It's built on only one thing, which is truth. 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 Any day as a preacher, you can't preach the truth. You are serving Satan. Oh, let me say it again. Once truth can no longer be preached by you for any reason, Satan worship don't begin. That's why I said to you, listen, Satan is unrelenting. You know when he wakes up in the morning? Because he also sleeps once in a while. So maybe he wakes up one morning. Anytime he thinks about me, that's Spanky, is to strategize the temptations. Let me put it like this. And nobody, listen to this, nobody is immune to those temptations except by prayer and feeding on the word of God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from participating in evil. It's a prayer point. He told Peter and Co., pray so that you do not fall into temptation. I pray Christians understand what prayer is. Prayer is not about enemies. Let me tell you how to identify a sinner. Any Christian you see staying up at night, say, tonight my enemies are dead. No, that fellow is a sinner. If he's a pastor, he's a head sinner. If you're a member of the congregation, you are participating in iniquity. I will tell you the truth. You know I don't have senior pastor over me. You get some kind of temptations, people like us, we not get. Nobody has ever given kingdom word money because of what I preached. So, just drop your offering and go. No negotiation on that. So, I like, oh God, I like my ministry. Amen. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, I can't tell you the truth. Sinners are always praying against other sinners at night. A real Christian, when he wants to pray, is praying about himself, herself, the face of God. Are you getting my point? He wants to decode the face of God. It's confused people that wake up every day trying to identify who are the people pursuing them. Olayinka sent me a joke a few days ago. It was very funny. A man has financial distress and all kinds of problems, so he went to the native doctor, to the diviner. And the vineyard did the divination and said, your boss is bewitching you. The guy said, it's okay, thank you, sir. The only problem is, I know they work right now. So which boss? I don't have a job right now. Which boss is bewitching me? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Oh, it's so important. Let me get back to my message. You know, I was just talking here and there. It's so important we understand that we are fighting for kingdoms. So. Satan is unrelenting, but we are more stubborn. We are more stubborn in our commitment to God. Amen? We are more stubborn in our prayer life. Amen? We are more stubborn in feeding on the word of God so that Satan will have no part in our lives. We are more stubborn. He's unrelenting. He's always running after people. Why is he unrelenting? The only way he can declare that this kingdom is mine is if you negotiated with him. Are you getting my point? So as to enter into that kingdom. This is the point I've been making. And this is the main thing I actually wanted to say. We'll still get there. We'll just keep learning. We'll still get there. So you see, Satan, through temptation, he begins to reign. His reign is called the reign of death. All the calamities in the world today, all you need to do is watch TV. It's terrible. People are saying, when would the Third World War start? It started long ago, I hope you know. If you go and read Samuel Huntington's book, you know, he talks about the clash of civilizations. The current one now, but I don't know which one, there are many of them. Fundamentalist Islam is fighting everybody else, and people are being killed every day. People travel on the road, there's disturbance. United States have problems with the economy. They don't like China, but they owe China more than anybody else. It's called death. And every day, I started this, let me just pick that and continue from there. People are fighting the reign of death. They are strategizing to have the reign of death come to an end. Once I was watching Bill Clinton on TV, and he was saying that he projected that by a particular period of time, science will have so advanced, men will routinely live beyond the age of 100. Routinely. Because of advancement of science. And when he said it, I laughed. You know why I laughed? I said, he's a lawyer. And a former president. He should have come to ask those of us who are into that field. We'll have let you know that death is spiritual. Yeah, death is spiritual. Death is spiritual. As you are laboring and laboring to overcome the force of death, death comes with another angle. And just like Solomon said, to the making of books, there's no end. Why is it to the making of books, there's no end? Because to research, there's no end. Men keep on researching and researching and researching. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they keep researching and researching. But because this thing is a spiritual problem, that's what I'm saying. What Bill Clinton is saying will not happen. Now, but I quoted him to bring out an issue. So people are fighting all the time. That's the point I'm making. To overcome this reign of death. But let me say this to you. And I said at the beginning, God's solution to the whole problem is called Jesus Christ. What did I say? Thanks for the murmuring. What did I say? Thank you very much. Jesus is the solution to everything. I was reading a man, he said that any deliverance you find outside Jesus is only bondage. It's only bondage. There is no lasting deliverance you will ever find against the reign of death outside Christ. There's none. We're going to read the scripture. I hope we can get there today. That was the one I wanted to read last time, and we finished with that reading. That's Hebrews chapter 4. But I want to bring out an issue here. That's the concept of sacrifice. I want to start. Let me just please explain something about the concept of sacrifice. We'll look at it further next time. You know, I told you before. Once I heard a man preaching. He was trying to preach, but he was not succeeding. Why did I say that? Because he was trying to encourage Christians to give money. And he made a statement that he gave out a Mercedes-Benz to God. And having given out a Mercedes-Benz to God, nobody can sacrifice anything against him. Because if you sacrifice a cow, how much is a cow? Now, let's value it. a big cow today in Nigeria, 120,000 naira, all right? So he was saying that 120,000 compared to his Mercedes Benz, okay, he had used it. So let's just pull down the value and say it was worth 5 million naira. Let's even say it's 1 million. So he was trying to say that if you give out a cow worth 120,000 naira, how can you afflict him that has given out a Benz of, at least, is a used one of, let's say, 2 million naira? That Satan cannot try him. And I felt like putting my hand on my head. And he said, you call yourself a preacher. Listen, if you like, give out an airplane. A man that sacrifices a rat will afflict you. Because airplane doesn't have blood. It's a trade of blood. It's not financial value. I pray you get what I'm saying. When he was speaking, I said, how can you talk like this? It's not about money. If you want to give money, please give. But please don't be deceived that it's money that you use to fight Satan concerning your life. It's not. What did I say? What did I say? It's not money. Let me summarize it. It's blood. Go and read Leviticus chapter 17. He said, the life of the flesh is in its blood. Therefore, I have given it to you to make an atonement for your souls. The life of the car is in the engine. And has not been given to you to make an atonement for your souls. That was why when God was commanding at the time, he said, listen, whether you are rich or poor, there's something you must bring. It's an offering. In that the Old Testament, it was a blood sacrifice. We're not going to the, you know, step-by-step academic discussion on it. But I want to understand something. When that man spoke that day, I was disappointed. I was. Because I said, you are not helping people to understand that we are talking about the power of life. It's blood. It's not money. Give out a whole sheep. A man who sacrifices a... You give out a whole sheep, you know? No sheep. Boat, you know? Boat, sheep. A man who sacrificed a real sheep, meh, you know that kind of thing, a meh type, he has more power, spiritually speaking. Now, we're not talking about Christians now, we're just talking about the principle of sacrifice. He has more power, spiritually speaking, than you. Why? Because life is a tangible spiritual substance. Metal is not a tangible spiritual substance. This flesh itself is not a tangible spiritual substance. It was created by God so that real life could enter into it. I hope you are getting my point. That was why God first made the man, formed him out of clay. Then what did he now do? He now breathed into him the breath of life. You get what I'm explaining? Life is a real spiritual substance. In the realm of the spirit, that's the currency they spend. Oh, I pray you get what I'm saying. In the realm of the spirit, it is a currency that they spend. Now, please, just hold that. We'll develop it next time, but just hold it. All right? Let me explain another principle. Disobedience, spiritually speaking, is debt. That is debt. You are paying. You know, like you are owing. D-E-B-T. Yeah, it's debt that you are owing. Let me say it again. In the realm of the spirit, disobedience is debt. You are owing. And I keep on telling you, that's why people will come. You know, very common in our country because we don't do insurance very well. A man will take his car that has no brake, and he knows he has no brake, and he starts managing it. Everybody say manage. Starts managing it. Like I always tell my wife, sorry, you are not managing. It's the car that is managing. you get what I'm saying? He is the one managing. You're not the one managing. It's the car that is managing. So he manages it, then he jams your car. Buzza. Why does he not have brake? He doesn't have money. He knew the brake was bad. He didn't have money to fix it. Then he jams your car, dents your car thoroughly. Then he comes out and says, hey, Josa, Biko, you know... Please, I beg. They have not paid us for 3 months. You know, in fact, my first son is supposed to go to school since last week. Now he hasn't gone because we have not been. I start telling you all the woes. My mother is in hospital as we're talking now. My mother is in hospital. Please, the summary of it is this. Who will pay for this? This damage that you have caused, this extra expenditure you have invented in my life, who will pay for it? He doesn't offer that. I don't want to go into that again. As a Christian, there are certain kinds of pleas you don't say. What's the kind of pleas you should say? Give me time, I will pay you all. Let the man not decide by himself that don't worry about paying the rest. Don't say, please, sir. What is please, sir? Please, sir, means you go and look for money. Please, sir, means you. The money you have planned to treat your own mother, come and use to fix your car. It means the money you are planning to use to send your own son to school, use to fix your car, or drive it like that and be arguing with Federal Road Safety every day. Listen, that's how people behave who don't understand spiritual principles. In the realm of the spirit, every debt must be paid. No. It's called justice. You have to be just. Now, if the man that you are owing now decides to pay it himself, he didn't write off the debt, he paid it. I want you to understand something. He did not write off the debt. What did he do? He paid it because the thing you created has to be solved. Please, get that principle. Disobedience in the realm of the spirit is like that. Every time you sin, which is what disobedience is, you create a damage in the realm of the spirit. You dented something. Now listen to this point. You made the transfer of angels from one realm to another impossible. You spoiled the road. Oh God, I pray you get what I'm saying. It is not a moral thing. It is not like, God doesn't like you to, who did you kiss? Oh, Pari, God don't catch you. Sorry, I won't do it again. No, please, it's not like that. It is like you took a well-made road and you hacked it, broke it up, blew it up. The angels came to come and deliver goods they could not pass. Please, open your ears and hear me well. Sin is not somebody they vex. Sin is you have truncated, you have put an end to spiritual negotiation. Listen, I have thought about it when Daniel was praying and the angel could not pass for 21 days. Have you ever asked yourself why? They said, until Michael came. Let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a question. Who sent the angel? Answer me like you are there. Who did? So he did not know that the Prince of Persia was on the way. He was aware. I don't have time to explain it. Why could that angel not pass? The Bible talks about him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It is power. The wages of sin is what? Death. Sin gives power to the devil. The sins of the people had obstructed the heavens. The angel was coming there with an answer. There was no way. Why did it take God 21 days to send Michael? Because he must have, I don't know how they did the calculation, but that's precisely how long it took for the people to obtain mercy. When they obtained mercy, Michael was released, thereby ending the power of the Prince of Persia. Sin is not just somebody they vex. It's God made the road. Go and read Isaiah chapter 40. God said, before I can bless you, I don't just say I'm God, I will bless you. You have to repair the road. Go and read Isaiah chapter 40. He said, bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, make sure there is an express road. Then the glory of God will be revealed. Sin is a damaged car. It's a blown up road. It's a damaged house. It's spoiled provisions. That's what sin is. Just like I said earlier, there's no, I beg, sir, don't be angry there. There's nothing like that. Payment must be made. What did I say? Payment. Somebody must repair the road. And the only currency that they use in the realm of spirit is life. That's why God said to them in that Leviticus 17, he said, I have given you, he said, the life of the flesh, read verse 11, is in his blood. I have given that one to you to make an atonement for your sins. That these things have been broken. Put them back into one. I have given that one to you to make an atonement for your sins. I'm bringing an issue here. The sin of Adam, the sin of Eve, the sin of Cain, the sin of all, including Abel himself, the sin of all those people, your own, my own, your father's own, my grandfather's own, Barack Obama's own, Goodluck Jonathan, everybody, all their sins, it had wrecked the world. You know, have you ever bought a car from the United States? It's 15 years old. When it comes, looking sharp. No be so. Drive it for Nigeria for 2 years. All the aging, it did not age in 15 years. It ages in 15 months. Why? Thank God for Sullivan, who has given us heavenly roads. But those are the ones who used to live in hell on roads, you know. I think you drive your car from here. One day, Yenka and I went to preach at there. Was it Uli who went to preach? After that, we said, this car is not going on that road again. When we went, the car was smart. Then he came back, some things were falling in this place. Falling in this place. This is what sin has done. Spoiled all the roads and all the blessings that God sent to us as motor car. In heaven, they were running smoothly on good roads. Once they get down to the earth, they spoil. Conceive and have children now. Sin is in our life. People now gather in church. In the name of Jesus, we won't be open. The man will come up for school, say, yeah, right now, stepping into prosperity. So he said, it's true. Prosperity is there. The road has been spoiled. Find work. Mm-hmm. Start business. One after the other. The one way you know one collapse, local government will help you collapse them. Please, you must understand something. Anything you see physically speaking, in the realm of the spirit, those things happen and they are tangible. What is sin? We have spoiled the road. That's what sin is. That's why Isaiah chapter 40, God said, you want blessing? Repair the road. God, I don't have time. Quickly open it to you. No, I quote these things. You think that I imagine them. I quote this one and I stop. Hey. Let's just read that one then. We have to close. Isaiah chapter 40. You see something that he said there. Because of time, because I have to close quickly. Let me just start from verse 3. He said, a voice is calling. What's the voice saying? Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a what?
Highway.
Say it loud.
Highway.
A what?
Highway.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? A highway. A road to pass for our God. How do you make it? Let every valley be lifted. What that means, fill the pothole. That's what he's saying. The valley is the dugout area. You know, Nigerians should be the one to write this portion. We understand it very well. Fill the pothole. And every mountain and hill be made low. Those elevated areas in between the potholes, we smoothen everything. And let the rough ground, that is, by so doing, the rough ground becomes a plain. And the rugged terrain becomes a broad valley. What's the next line? Then, everybody say then.
Then.
The glory of God, he said, will be revealed. And all flesh will see it together. Listen to me. I said to you earlier, in the realm of the spirit, there's nothing like please sir. You spoil the car, it has to be fixed. You dig up the road, you have to repair it. It costs money. It costs money. The only thing that they transact in the realm of the spirit is life. When you added your sin with my own, with that of your grandfather and that of my great-grandfather, and that of Barack Obama and Goodluck Jonathan, Osama Bin Laden's own, we didn't forget it. You added everything together. Listen. The Bible says clearly, the redemption of the soul is very costly. God put everything together. It was impossible for anybody to pay. Any human being. The Bible said, therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him. The only person that could pay. Oh my God. Remember that man that was owing that Jesus Christ told the story? He looked at his servant and said, I forgive you the debt. And I told you, there's nothing like forgive. What does that mean? I will pay myself. The the only person that could pay was God himself. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, the Bible says. So he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is, God, the Word that was God, came down in human flesh so that he could pay for the sins that you committed and I committed. Listen to me. And he did it very well. What did I say? Let me quickly say this and I close with it. Your great-grandfather's sin has been paid for. You can't pay it again. I pray you get what I'm saying. You can't. I hear preachers all the time. If you want to give money for the retention of the sin of your ancestors, you know when we preachers want to collect money, our sin disappears from our head. It goes to our bum bum. I'm sorry. When we want to collect money, we can't conjure all kinds of nonsense. Money is, no God. The love of money is the root of all bad preaching. When, preachers, once we see money, now so they do like he goat, we see she goat. It's terrible. I told you before, the only thing that is used in the realm of the spirit to pay for this is what? Life. If you really wanted to pay, tell me to go and buy a goat. But no, we say we convert it to currency. Why? Because we're not preaching the truth. It's a fat lie. We are not telling the truth. I've heard it everywhere. Your ancestors sinned. Who will give 50,000 naira for the sin of his father? I just fold my Bible. I won't go peace. Listen, if you want to pay spiritual debt, the only thing you can use to pay it is life. That's the only thing. Cash does not do it. God gave them bulls and goats as a temporary measure. Even he said it. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. So why did they give it to them? It says it's a sign of your faith or the redemption that I'm going to send later on. Let me summarize the game for you today. Jesus paid it all. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Your father's own, your ancestor's own, everybody's own, my own, your own, my children's own. They want nothing because in the realm of the spirit, all these things are in one time. Oh God, I don't have time to go into that. There's nothing future and past in the realm of the spirit. All of them are seen at one moment. This is how God does. When God wants to look, this is past, this is future. He's standing in one spot. He's seen everything in one scan. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. You know, where you won't go tomorrow, you think I'm going to go tomorrow. God is seeing the place. He's seeing you. He's seen everything. That's why it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So, he said God cannot change the past. It's a lie. I've seen him change the past. He changes the past. You just don't know. He has changed many pasts in your life. You don't realize it. Hey, if I start now, I won't come up for here. But the reason why you are not dead is that he has changed your past. Because past is only important for the effect he has on the future. So once the future consequence is no longer there, the past never happened. You see, Americans sit down there. You know why I'm shooting everybody and dysfunctional is that I was abused as a child. Believe in Jesus Christ, you will know that you were not abused as a child. When you refuse to believe, you start telling me all kinds of lies about your past. This is the point. God has scanned the whole thing, packaged all the sins, and Jesus has paid for them. Let me say it again. You are free. What did I say? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Rise to your feet like you believe it. Just say, Father, I thank you because I'm free. Just say it. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Lord, I thank you because I am free. Lord, I thank you because I'm free. Everybody say after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. Say it, all things have passed away. They have been made new by Christ Jesus. Say, God has washed away all my sins. He has paid all my debts. Say it to, he has paid all my debts. know, some people will die and their children will be paying their debts. It happens. It happens a lot. Their wife will pay. Their wives will pay. Their children will pay. People will just be paying. And like that, we sin also. Sometimes the elders, the fathers will sin. The children's teeth are set on edge. But in your case, it's not like that.
Amen.
Those who preach all these ancestral curses thing, they have a bit of truth in them. What they forget is the other part that Jesus actually paid. And say, therefore, say, the debt of my fathers,
the debt of my fathers,
they have been paid.
They have been paid.
Say, God himself paid.
God himself paid.
He came in the flesh of Jesus Christ.
He came in the flesh of Jesus
and gave his life to pay.
And gave his life to pay.
Say, therefore, I am free.
Therefore, I am free.
Do your hand like this. I'm not a slave anymore. Just,
I'm
not a slave anymore. Say, put your hand on your head, please. Say, sickness is gone.
Sickness is gone.
From the top of my head,
to the soles of my feet.
Say, my future is bright.
My future is bright.
Because sin has been washed away.
Because sin has been washed away.
Now listen to this. You know, there are things you hear, you know, before you've forgotten what they meant. You didn't know what they mean. Later on, you start suddenly start understanding. I heard a man preach once on how to build the ladder for angels to move from heaven down to earth. I'm like, what is this man saying? Is this as I'm understanding it? That the ladders have been broken. That's why the angels can't come down. He was talking about when Jacob laid down, put his head on a rock. He woke at night. He dreamt that angels were going up and down on the ladder. And he said, this is the house of God. He did not know it. And he called the place Bethel. And the man said, I'm going to begin to teach on how to build that ladder. I said, my God, what is this man talking about? Do you know it's now I'm understanding it? Say it, the ladder of my angels.
The ladder of my angels.
The roads for the glory of God to pass through.
The roads for the glory of God to pass through.
They have been repaired.
They have been repaired.
Jesus has paid.
Jesus has paid.
Therefore, I speak to my blessing.
Therefore, I speak to my blessing.
Come.
Come.
The road is clear.
The road is clear.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I speak to my angels.
I speak to my angels.
Come.
Come.
The prince of Persia has been defeated.
The prince of Persia has been defeated.
Say it, won't take you 21 days.
It won't take you 21 days.
You will get to me now.
Because in Christ Jesus,
all has been paid. Say, Father, I thank you for it. Listen to this. I speak to your week that is beginning tomorrow. That angels will fill it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you travel, you will be safe because the road is clear, spiritual road now, and the sins have been paid. Safety, therefore, is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors that have been closed because angels couldn't get there. I speak to you again today that the angels will get there and the doors will be open this coming week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
Put up your right hand. I speak to that hand that the peace of God dwells there.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you have any troubles, put your hand on that place and say, peace be upon you. When you get home, put your hand on your troubled financial...